Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. My guests this week include Adriana Thompson, artistic director and founder of Soulskin Dance, which presents the final installment of their pop culture journey from Folsom Prison to A Night at the Opera, incorporating music from Johnny Cash to Queen and beyond. Rennie Young, lead artist and director of Chinese Whispers, Golden Gate, will tell us about that multimedia storytelling theater work that brings to life the experiences of Chinese immigrants in the Bay Area, which has its world premiere at the Fort Mason Center this weekend. Clarinetist Brendan Guy will be joined by composer Simon Dobson to talk about Curious Flight's upcoming concert, and music director and conductor of the San Francisco Ballet, Martin West, will share news from the ballet and details about the ballet orchestra's solo turn next week in the Herbst Theater. Stay with us. Golden Gate is a multimedia experience that brings to life the stories of San Francisco Bay Area Chinese immigrants. Local Chinese American communities contribute family memories, images, and interviews with elders whose ancestors made long journeys to the U.S. An intergenerational cast of 9 raconteurs includes 84-year-old Ford Lee, who appears on stage to tell his own tales. And all the stories feature projected images and soundscapes to create an immersive experience. Joining me to talk about the project is Rennie Young, lead artist and director of Golden Gate. Rennie is an internationally exhibiting artist, designer, writer, and thinker, whose works are cross-disciplinary and address social and cultural issues in this globalized environment that we're in. She develops innovative forms of civic engagement that connect people, history, and place to reveal overlooked patterns and articulate hidden narratives. A Stanford grad, Rennie lives here in San Francisco and is on the faculty of the Interdisciplinary Studies Department at City College of San Francisco. Welcome, Rennie.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Happy to have you. What is your personal connection to the Chinese immigrant experience?
I am an immigrant myself. Came here from Hong Kong when I was a teenager. And I have to confess, when I first arrived, I was not particularly interested in the history of the early Chinese in America because it was so different from my personal experience. But the longer I stayed in America, the longer I understood the importance of that history as a foundation and really bedrock for what the immigrant communities and the Native and the American communities here for their lives and for their hopes and as part of America.
And how did you recruit participants for this particular project this weekend?
Through a series of inquiries in the Chinese American community, starting, of course, with the San Francisco Chinatown community, because it was one of the most important Chinese American communities in the country, obviously. And also, we talked to new immigrants. I collaborated with the San Francisco Chinatown YMCA to hold a series of storytelling workshops with immigrants of different generations who had been in the States for different periods of time, from very recent to relatively longer, so that we could connect past to present in this history.
And imagine there's a plethora of stories that are out there from a wide-ranging experience of the whole immigrant experience. Are you trying to show a balance of good and maybe not so good experiences in this particular project, Chinese Whispers?
Well, I don't think we put a value on good or bad. I think what is most compelling about these stories is their humanity. And even though they're very culturally specific in terms of how they unfolded, who the people are, what their names are, what they may have eaten, the experience of moving, of being uprooted, and of trying to find home in a different place, whether it's America or anywhere else, is quite universal. And that is really what came through and what I'm interested in articulating.
Is there any one particular story that really stands out for you?
Oh, my gosh, there are so many.
I'm sure.
One that was sort of astonishing to hear. One man tells about his ancestors many generations back who left China in six junks. He wasn't sure it was the whole village or, you know, just a whole bunch of family members. They sailed from the southern coast of China in these junks across the Pacific to America, following routes that they seem to have heard from Spanish and Portuguese sailors. And they sailed to the Philippines and then across the Pacific. And during that trip somewhere, three of those six junks were lost.
Wow.
You know, and just to imagine that journey is astounding.
And the interesting thing, too, is that history, as it does, it's repeating itself with the immigrant experience and the exodus from Syria into Greece and then beyond into Europe.
It's not only the question of exodus, but I think what really emerged in all of this work is the question of belonging. Where do you belong? How do you connect to your past, whether it's your immediate history for first-generation immigrants or for their descendants? And that question of belonging is something that also comes through loud and clear.
Belonging and seeking something better for one's children and one's life.
Absolutely. So in that sense, it is the American dream, even though it's been kicked around a lot these days.
Tell us a bit about the creation of the projected images that we'll see in the multimedia.
They are abstract images. So the whole piece is non-illustrative in the sense that when people think about historic material, they think that if you talk about, let's say, the Chinese telephone exchange, you're going to see a picture of the exchange. But these are all abstract images which suggest the mood and the feel and the metaphor of the stories that are being told. And they are very large-scale close-up. And again, it also goes back to the sense of universal of what the experience is.
Talking with Rennie Young, who is the brainchild behind Chinese Whispers, Golden Gate, through the 20th of March at the Southside Theater Building D down at Fort Mason. Now, other than through these performances and this experience this weekend, how are these stories being preserved?
They are preserved. Of course, there are many different organizations and groups across the country trying to preserve these stories. Part of what we do is to bring them to the public in ways that are engaging, understandable, and at the same time responsible to the history, and acknowledging that this is actually a very fragmented history because of the social and cultural attitudes toward the Chinese in the early part of their existence here in America, so that we can use artistic forms to articulate hidden histories and a history of fragmentation and at the same time of the continuum behind the fragmentation.
And this is only one aspect of what you're doing in this area, isn't it? This Chinese Whispers.
Yes, Chinese Whispers is really takes multi-platform approach to find ways to both research this material, to gather these forgotten stories, and then also to bring them to the public. And often they take shape in site-specific performances, events and readings, public education programs. We also did a very large-scale project for the last 2 years called Chinese Whispers Bay Chronicles, which researched and brought to light the history of Chinese maritime living around the San Francisco Bay, in particular the shrimp fishing industry. And we did a research and chronicling expedition on a replica 19th century Chinese shrimp junk to different sites from Northeast South Bay to San Francisco Bayview Hunters Point. And we also presented public programs as part of the sales. The boat only accommodates 15, so we couldn't bring public on it. But where we landed, we held public programs, and it resulted in a multimedia art installation at the San Francisco Maritime National Historical Park last year.
Tell us a little bit about the people that you're working with to make this happen. other than the actual participants that are telling the story?
It is a really wonderful cross-disciplinary collaboration. I work a lot with historians, sometimes with anthropologists. On the sale, we collaborated with historical ecologists to understand the environmental conditions that these stories took shape in. Of course, there are artistic collaborators. I collaborate frequently with sound artist Jeremiah Moore, using, again, this concept of the abstract to articulate the universal. And in this production, I am collaborating with Stephanie Ann Johnson on lighting and Faye Bongalan as my co-director, and a range of just different people who come in and contribute their talents and resources.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful project to catch this weekend, some of the work that Rennie Young is doing. Chinese Whispers Golden Gate is at Building D, the Southside Theater, Fort Mason Center. Information at Chinese-Whispers.org. And for all things that Rennie is working on, RennieYoung.com. I'll spell that RennieYoung.com. Those links will be at our KLW Open Air website. Rennie, thanks for coming in today, and I wish you a wonderful project this weekend, and thank you so much for the work you're doing to preserve this.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure and my honor.
That's our own San Francisco Ballet Orchestra and the world premiere recording of Moritz Moszkowski's 1893 Fackeltanz, or Dance with Flares. One of the works on the forthcoming CD release with conductor Martin West, music director and principal conductor of the San Francisco Ballet, and my guest this afternoon. Maestro West is acknowledged as one of the foremost conductors of ballet, now in his 10th season here in San Francisco, building that orchestra into one of the finest in the land. He's also worked with many of the top companies in North America and Canada and his native England. And he's made a number of critically acclaimed recordings with the San Francisco Ballet, including complete scores of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, excerpts from Delibes' Coppelia and Sylvia, and a CD of Shostakovich and Tchaikovsky cello music. He and the orchestra have also made many world premiere recordings, including music by composers such as Bizet, Moszkowski, as I mentioned, Shinji Eshima, who we'll talk about, Kip Winger, and Maury Yeston, whose full-length ballet, Tom Sawyer, was recorded in 2013. Maestro West, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here again.
Well, I imagine you and the orchestra are still basking in a bit of afterglow of February's two Teamwork Grammy wins for conductor George Manahan leading the ballet orchestra and Laura Karpman's Ask Your Mama, Grammys for Best Engineered Classical Recording, and for Best Classical Producer for Judith Sherman.
Yeah, we're very pleased about that. It's very exciting to see all this work rewarded. That particular project took about 4 years to even get recorded, so it was great that in the end it was such a success.
Well, I'm hoping to see those Grammys on display in the lobby. You should get some spotlights on
those. Well, we're doing a concert next week, and we're hoping that Leslie Ann Jones, who's the engineer for Ask Your Mama, will bring her Grammy and we'll show it around.
Nice, nice. We'll talk about that concert coming up in just a few minutes. Now, more recording projects underway as well. I hear that another Skywalker Ranch session is being set up to record Shinji Yashima's
Actually,
Swimmer.
We've just done it. We did it
fantastic.
We did last month, a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's in the can, and it hasn't been edited yet, but it'll take a little while. But that was great. It was very exciting to do.
It's such a visually exciting piece, too.
It's incredible. It's like no other ballet I've ever been involved with, I think. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Shinji, great work last night, opening night of the encore season of having the Shinji Eshimo Yuri Posikoff Swimmer. 6 more chances to see that and hear that. Great audience reaction last night.
Oh, I think every time we performed it, it's had a standing ovation. It's real crowd pleaser.
As a conductor, you're one of the few in the pit that get to actually see what's going on.
That's
on
right,
stage.
Yeah.
I talked with a few of the musicians afterwards, and they were kind of jealous not being able to see the incredible, just the color, the movement. Posikoff's ensemble moves are just incredible.
Well, the ensemble stuff they never get to see, unfortunately, because they're busy playing in the pit. There's a few moments, of course, where we have a few bits of recorded music, so I see them catching a glimpse then as best they can. And in the dress rehearsal, you'll find them all standing up and watching as much as they can to see what it's all about.
Yeah, and it's a nice combination of not only Shinji's music, but a generous helping of Tom Waits.
That's right, yeah. It's a real mix. It's
kind
great.
Of a 50s madman meets John Cheever's short story.
That's right. You had incredible vision to do that.
Now, let's do talk about the concert coming up on the 25th, a 40th anniversary concert. Now, when did the ballet orchestra start offering concerts dancer-free?
Well, to my knowledge, this is the first in 10 years, well, certainly since I've been here. I think we did one 10 years ago, and how many before that, I don't know. So it's a pretty rare occasion, but we thought it was important to celebrate the orchestra's 40th anniversary in something more than just playing in the pit for this season. So we decided to do a concert with music. I chose the music specifically to showcase what the orchestra's been doing away from the pit, and introduce to the audience our new concertmaster as well, who's going to play a concerto with us, Cordula Merx.
Chausson piece.
Chausson, yeah.
Also on the program, the 1945 version of Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. Why the 45 version?
That's the one we played. I did want to do one piece that reflected what the ballet does, and we've played actually Yuri Posikoff's Firebird production many times, and I thought that'd be a perfect thing to showcase the orchestra. Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a Firebird centric month here in San Francisco. The San Francisco Symphony just did it last week with Charles Dutoit.
Oh, really?
The 1919 version of the suite. And I'm playing it with the Peninsula Symphony
Friday
and Saturday, and we're doing the 1919 suite as well.
Okay, well, there's more in the 1945, so you get to hear more.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I just dug up from my LP collection. I have it here. I'll show it to you. Ernest Ansermet's
that's a great recording,
On London with a rehearsal album as well.
Oh, really? That's interesting, yeah.
See a rehearsal, let you borrow it. So also on that program, we've got this piece by Kip Winger, you recorded as well.
Yeah, now Kip Winger is more famous as a rock musician, actually. He used to be the bass guitarist for Alice Cooper and had his own band back in the 80s, quite successful. But he's always wanted to be he's always loved classical music and really wanted to be a composer. And 5 years ago, I think it was, 6 years ago, Christopher Wheeldon said he wanted to create a ballet to this music by Kip Winger. So we did a ballet called Ghosts, and it was tremendously successful. And we've played it all around the world. In fact, it's been one of his most successful ballets with us. And Kip and I have become very good friends since then. And he told me he'd written this other piece called Conversations with Nijinsky. And
perfect fit for a ballet group.
Exactly, yeah. And he's hoping it might be ballet one day. But he really wanted to have it recorded. And so he worked very hard to raise the funds. And last year we recorded it. And Leslie Ann Jones engineered it. The person who engineered the Grammy Award winning Ask Your Mama. So we're hoping get some more success out of that as well.
Very nice.
And yeah, we had a great time. It's a very different work from Ghost, but it's never had a full premiere in public performance, so I thought it'd be a great thing to start the concert.
Nice. Well, let's hear a little bit of that. Okay. This is an excerpt from Conversations with Nijinsky by Kip Winger, and then we'll have more with conductor Martin West. Music of Kip Winger, which will be featured for the solo turn of the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra on the 25th of this month, next Friday, at the Herbst Theater. That's some really nice stuff.
Oh, it was a great thing to play. We really enjoyed it.
Well, we mentioned that the Stravinsky Firebird is going to be on it, and also this work by Moskovsky that started things off, the Fakultants, Dance with Flares, that's also featured on your most recent CD, soon to come out. Why... First record, 1893.
It's amazing, isn't it? Moskovsky was really popular in his day, and he actually died a pauper because he had so many medical bills. But in his day, he was one of the most popular composers there were, and he seemed just largely to be forgotten. He mostly wrote piano music, but he did write some pieces for piano and then orchestrate them. And so we did a ballet to a piece by his from Foreign Lands, and... We decided that we'd like to record that, and so I went looking for some other pieces and discovered that so much of it hadn't been recorded, and we found some scores lying around in various libraries around the country, and we put them together, and we found Fakultants, and Fakultants means dance with flares, so I thought it was a perfect thing to put in a concert. So we haven't got fireworks in the studio, but instead of having a birthday cake, we can have all the flares in the music instead.
Very nice. We mentioned that your new concertmaster will be featured for N.R. Strasson's poem.
Mm-hmm.
And back to some Stravinsky for a minute. Nowadays, the names Stravinsky and Firebird are inextricably linked. But he really wasn't Serge Diaghilev's first choice as composer, or second choice, or third choice.
No, it's incredible, isn't it? Lyadov was his first choice, but Lyadov was a very famously slow composer, and he didn't get it quickly down on the page quick enough. So, although he did finish it, Firebird, he finished it in the end. But what a stroke of luck that all happened like that.
And Stravinsky himself conducted the 1919 suite more than 1,000 times.
I'm sure, yeah.
What number are you up to?
Maybe 20, something like that. Mm-hmm. I've got a long way to go.
Talk to me about the experience up at Skywalker Ranch.
It's an amazing place. It was built, I don't know when it was built, probably 30 years ago, was it, by George Lucas in the middle of the Marin Headlands, and it's incredible state-of-the-art studio. But what's really great about it is it's a very stressful thing being in the studio, trying to get everything laid down as best you can in a short amount of time. There's never enough time. And you feel that it's all going terribly badly. And then suddenly you walk out and you're in the middle of the fields and a deer walks by and you think, you know, it's going to be fine. And then everybody relaxes and then we go back and play. It's a great place. We love going there. We've been there I don't know how many times now.
Talk to me a little bit about the nuts and bolts of conducting. In this 83rd repertory season, fresh off a final week of Coppelia by Delibes, Tchaikovsky Onegin to end the season, and in between three mixed programs and some more contemporary composers, including the return of Shinji's Swimmer, and some Chopin on that program as well. Now, these other mixed programs includes work by Martinu and Ligeti, so I'm wondering, is it easier from both the pit's perspective and the dancers with those more traditional works than the contemporary? I'm thinking it would be hard to mess up a tempo, say, in Coppelia.
You'd be surprised. You can mess a tempo up at any time. Yeah, no, I'm famous for it. No, all music's hard. There isn't a single... You know, the easier the music, the harder it is to make sense of. You know, Coppelia, it sounds really simple, very fresh, but it's actually very difficult to play. Technically tricky at times, and a lot of things are in the music not very clear from the page. So you have to interpret. Sometimes the modern music's easier because you just lay it down as it's written. But none of it's easy, you know. We don't play the Ligeti is to piano, and it's incredibly difficult music. But my two ladies who are going to play are going to be great in it, I'm sure.
Very nice.
We have another new piece. You didn't mention there by Sufjan Stevens. Which will be another world premiere, actually, of the orchestrated version of his BQE, which was a piece he wrote about 6 or 7 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. So information about the concert on the 25th at sfballet.org. Now, are you conducting the balance of the season, or is Ming Luke sharing the time?
I'll do most of it, yeah. In fact, I'm doing all of program 6 and 7, and we'll share off some of program of the Onegin set as well. Mm-hmm. It's just difficult doing 8 shows in a week. My body can't take it anymore.
In addition to celebrating Cordula Merckx, your new concert mistress, I hear a couple months back there was a celebration of some other new members of the orchestra. Who have you added in?
We've got a new second clarinet. We have some Tempe people filling in at the moment in the second violins. I just gave tenure to my principal trumpet, Adam Luffman, who's been a fantastic addition to the brass section.
He was a soloist.
Yeah, you heard him last night on Swimmer. I mean, it's incredible. He's fantastic. It's a hugely exposed solo, and he's always absolutely fantastic.
Mm. Well, the ballet seems to be both on stage and in the pit at the top of its form. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We try very hard, and we don't take our success lightly. You know, we work very hard to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Do try to catch the Swimmer if you can, sfballet.org, next Friday if you're free to go to the Herbst to catch
this. Yeah, please come. It'll be a very exciting concert.
Excellent. And as well as the rest of the season, sfballet.org. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks so much indeed.
Martin.
Thank you.
We'll see you again soon. much fun to play as it is to hear the finale from Stravinsky's Firebird. Martin West and the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra will be performing the 1945 suite next Friday, sfballet.org. And I'll be performing in the 1919 suite with the Peninsula Symphony this Friday evening at the San Mateo Performing Arts Center and Saturday at the Flint Center. Piccolo part on that is a bear, but it's a great, fun work. We'll have a ticket giveaway for the Peninsula at the end of the hour, so stay tuned to Open Air as we continue our cultural journey this hour. Curious Flights folks will be here, conductor and world brainchild behind Curious Flights, Brendan Guy, fine clarinetist as well, is here with composer Simon Dobson to talk about their concert Transatlantic Crossings this coming Saturday evening at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Might have some tickets for them as well. And next, I'm talking with Adriana Thompson, who is the artistic director and founder of Soulskin Dance, about Soulskin's third San Francisco season, a pop culture journey from Folsom Prison to a night at the opera at Dance Mission Theater this weekend. Lots of great things happening this weekend. Boy, Adriana is a San Francisco native who spent her early professional career as a modern dancer and choreographer on the East Coast. She then resettled in the Bay Area a few years ago and immediately got into the studio, developed a concept that involves a group of dancers, produced in 2014, with a goal to infuse a little lightheartedness into concert dance and to create a more universal access point. Adriana, welcome to Open Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is the third installment of this, I understand.
It's not the last, but it's the third to this part of the trilogy I've been working on, yes.
Well, we can't call it a trilogy then if it's going to go on.
Well, you know, I'll vary it up a little bit.
Okay, so what happened in the first two?
The first two I worked with sort of 1970s music, ranging from, and also the 80s as well, ranging from Aretha Franklin to Simple Minds, Iggy Pop, Lou Reed, the list goes on. A lot of my influences pull from my experience growing up in the Bay Area in San Francisco in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
My mother was a musician and a singer and a songwriter, and my father was an actor. So
you're one of the West Coast to East Coast back to West Coast persons.
Well, exactly. Okay. I moved to New York to be a professional dancer and dance there. And then I moved to Aspen, Colorado, where I founded with my husband, David Lettingham, the Aspen Fringe Festival. Which we've had, this is our eighth year. And I've also been on faculty for 10 years with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
Nice.
Before I moved back home.
Where were you working back in New York?
I worked with Battery Dance Company, Carolyn Dorfman, a fair amount of people. I worked with Bill Lewitsky when I was very young in Los Angeles. I went to school at Cal State Long Beach. I met Sanders, a lot of people, actually. A working dancer in New York, which is rare, actually, because there's so much competition. So you got to just show your stuff and just keep showing up at the auditions and hope one day somebody's going to say, hey, I want you.
I know that story, not from a dance perspective, but from an amazing beehive that is New York.
But during that period in New York is when I started choreographing. And my company back then was called Mephitis Dance Theater, and I actually worked with a composer, William Catanzaro. We had a company of six dancers and four musicians. So I've had my experience with working with musicians as well. I like collaboration. So coming back here to the Bay Area, that was the first step that I wanted to do right away, was to collaborate.
Well, we just got off a conversation with Martin West, involved with the San Francisco Ballet. Talk to us about your corps de ballet. Who's your corps?
Well, I have about eight dancers in total that are my corps. I have five guest artists that are with me right now, Charles Torres and Jennifer Jaffe, who are former dancers with Human Ballet, Marlo Bissett, Jamie Lynn Dugan, who is also our costume designer, as well as a gorgeous dancer who's going to be doing Walk the Line.
Nice.
And I'm also performing.
Great.
I also brought out a colleague of mine, Dylan Elmore from London, who was formerly with Bathsheba Dance Company. And he set a ballet as well in this particular performance this season.
Nice, nice. And these performances are this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
At the Opera Dance Mission Theater.
Dance Mission, yeah. And I can't forget my ensemble. I have five ensemble younger dancers that auditioned for me this past fall. So I have a total of 20 performers in this season. Very epic.
Nice.
Yes.
Soulskindance.org to learn more about this weekend's performance. You mentioned Johnny Cash's Walk the Line. What other are there other Johnny Cash tunes involved?
Rusty Cage, God's Gonna Cut You Down.
So these numbers are danced different numbers of people.
So I've created two ballets. So the first ballet is the Johnny Cash ballet. So there's about six songs that I'm using for that. And then Dylan Elmore's piece is in the middle. And then we close with Queen.
Nice, which we'll close with shortly.
Yes.
So tell me, what will we see on stage in terms of costuming?
Well, the costuming is... Jamie Lynn is really extraordinary when it comes to her costuming. I mean, I don't even want to necessarily give it away because then I'll give it away. But I'm influenced by... the culture of the 80s. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So imagine lots of very loud colors, very vibrant, very alive.
In San Francisco?
I'm telling you, I know. I went to a lot of those parties in San Francisco, and I went to a lot of salon parties as a child. So I was heavily influenced by a lot of artists. So the colors are my vision as well as Jamie Lynn's. My idea originally was having like a Cinderella theme because last year was Road Warrior costuming.
Nice.
And this year Cinderella. But Cinderella's kind of turned into Freddie meets Cinderella meets Alice in Wonderland. So it's like... there is one interesting prop in the show, which you have to come and see it. So
give us a little bit more of a tease.
Just a little bit. Just right. A little bit.
Soulskindance.org. Let's hear a little bit of the iconic Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, which will be danced by some 20 people on stage.
Yes.
At the Dance Mission Theater this weekend. Adriana Thompson, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
you
so much.
And I wish you some wonderful performances. Keep us informed as to what's going on.
I will. Thank you.
A little bit of Queen, and then we're going to move to another Brit. We'll have a pair of Brits on, Simon Dobson and Brendan Guy. Stay with us here on Open Air.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again,
just a touch of the iconic Bohemian Rhapsody to be danced to this weekend, Soul Skin Dance. Freddiemercury.org. God, wonderful singing of Freddie Mercury. My gosh, that's pretty amazing. Well, the music of two-time British Composer Award winner Simon Dobson will be heard as part of Curious Flight's concert this Saturday evening, continuing our parade of Brits here on Open Air. Continuing their 2015-16 season, Curious Flights has had here in the Bay Area a week-long residency with Simon Dobson. In addition to composing, Simon is a conductor, producer, and trumpet player. As a conductor, he's worked extensively throughout Europe, and his music has been played by ensembles and soloists at events and competitions worldwide. His stay culminates in a program this Saturday that showcases a variety of his works, including the world premiere of a Curious Flights commissioned work for clarinet and electronics, and the U.S. premiere of Another World's Hell, featuring the San Francisco Wind Ensemble, led by Martin Segelka. The Bay Area's premier wind ensemble will also highlight new works by Bay Area composers, including a second Curious Flights world premiere commission by Noah Luna, and a wind ensemble arrangement world premiere of Metonoia by Robert Chastain. Completing the program are two chamber works by Samuel Adams and Mason Bates. And here to talk about this week's residency and Saturday's concert are clarinetist and Curious Flight's brainchild, Brendan Guy, and the gentleman who has been in our guest room in the Lower Haight this week, aforementioned composer, Simon Dobson. Brendan, welcome back, and Simon, welcome to our airwaves.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Simon, I was surprised to learn that this is not only your first visit to San Francisco, but to the U.S. What's your impression so far of our fair city?
I love it. It's really exciting. People seem really friendly. It's obviously much more liberal than the U.K., but everyone's been really welcoming, and I've had just a great time so far.
Nice. Brendan, you met Simon in school, I understand. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, actually, we met maybe 4 or 5 years before that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was a teenager aspiring to attend the Royal College of Music, where Simon was a student at the time. Uh-huh. So I've sort of been in touch with Simon ever since then. And, of course, as our time at the college went on, grew sort of closer in the friendship as well as colleagues. And so 15 years after that day that we met, it's a pleasure to bring him back out here.
Nice.
Is it 15 years?
I think it's about 15
That's
years.
That's just crazy.
You're like an old married couple. That's amazing, yeah. So what's been going on this week in addition to preparing for Saturday's concert?
Well, Simon has been pretty active this week. He's been at various schools, the Urban School of San Francisco, the School of the Arts, and tomorrow he'll be at the San Francisco Conservatory, and he's been giving classroom presentations and working with the students, sharing a bit of his background as a composer, trumpeter, producer. And really, I think it's been very helpful to these schools because Simon's really I don't want to embarrass him here, but he's a very unique artist in the 21st century. You know, he's not just a composer and he's not just a performer. He does a lot of a variety of different things, and I think that's vital for today's musicians and artists.
I think you're right. I learned pretty early on that it's almost, unless you're one of the very, very rare few, to make a job, make a career out of solely composing or solely being a trumpet player is incredibly difficult. So I've kind of fashioned this attitude of just saying yes to absolutely everything. I mean, obviously not everything, but everything that I can see is a good move, even if it's kind of a bit scary. Just say yes to everything, and eventually I think if you put yourself in a position of having to do well, invariably you will succeed.
That's kind of what we talked about informally in the car about skydiving, you know, just
absolutely
gotta,
yeah,
gotta, I mean, jump out that plane.
Definitely terrifying, but I'm glad I did it.
Very good. Have you had any chance this week to interact with the fellow composers that are on the Saturday's program?
I haven't yet, but I will be very, very soon. And actually, I did meet some of the composers from the conservatory yesterday, and we got to have a real good chat about the way we see music and the way the composition works at the school. I haven't met the other composers from the concert yet, but I've been interacting with composers already in San Francisco, which is great.
Well, let's hear a little bit of your music from your CD. Tell us about this first track we're going to hear, Crystal.
Well, I have synesthesia, and I kind of imagined a color for this very, very start of my record, and I wanted it to be silvers and light blues and kind of like icy colors.
Wow.
And so I basically wrote, I suppose I started with that and worked backwards to write the piece. So it's an 8-trumpet fanfare, and I wanted it to kind of shine and shimmer. And I think, you know, any good album should start with a fanfare, right?
Then more with Simon Dobson and Brendan Guy. Crystal for 8 trumpets, receiving its U.S. premiere Saturday evening as part of Curious Flight's Transatlantic Crossings. That's music of my guest, Simon Dobson. He's here with Brendan Guy in our studios to talk about this Saturday's concert at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. You'll hear the trumpets of the San Francisco Wind Ensemble and a few Curious Flight's Chamber Ensemble members to bring up the number to 8. Crystal for 8 trumpets, part of this weekend's program. That's great stuff. And we need to back up a little bit because of this talk about synesthesia, mm-hmm. Which is fascinating to me. You mentioned that I actually hear some silvers going on in there.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that when you turn on the radio and you hear some music, you're actually seeing some sort of color in your mind's eye when or there's certain keys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite subjective, and also, so it's been something that's kind of difficult to talk about because there's no real way of explaining exactly what I see. But I've kind of had this connection between color and music since I was, I guess, since before I knew what synesthesia was. I've always known that some colors have suited some keys. I mean, there are synesthesiacs who you know, for example, will say A flat major is maroon, and that's just how their thing works. But for me, it's always been a textural thing. I suppose the closest I can liken it to is like a visualizer on say iTunes or Windows Media Player. When the colors are blossoming around, that's kind of how I see it. But I studied Messiaen for a long time, who of course is like a really famous synesthesiac, and I think. There's no exact science to it. It's just always been a connection in my mind between, and I find it easier to discuss music and color too. Mm-hmm. You know, like for example, that piece, the Crystal that we just heard, has always, since I imagined the piece of music before I'd written it, it's the color stayed the same. So now when I hear that piece of music, the color is even more pronounced.
That's fascinating to me. That's wonderful. Brendan, tell me about the other composers that are being presented this coming Saturday. Mason Bates' Red River.
Sure. Yeah, of course, Mason Bates, big name in the composing world these days, local composer and on the faculty at San Francisco Conservatory of Music. That has a backing track for electronics, so it's violin, cello, clarinet, piano, and electronics. Very cool piece. Very, very... what's the word? It sort of depicts the Red River and takes us through this whole journey from the start to the end without giving too much away. It's a great story to listen to musically. And Sam Adams, son of John Adams, of course, another local composer. So we're really focusing on the combination of Simon's music from the UK and our local talents here. And that means that we have two more composers filling out the program, Noah Luna and Bobby Chastain, who are also local composers and graduates of the conservatory.
Nice. Hence the term transatlantic crossings, kind of getting things right.
That's right, yeah. And this is the second installment, I guess you could call it, of our transatlantic crossings program, which we started in our first season back in 2013. Exactly the same structure. We focused on one UK artist, composer, sorry, and local Bay Area composers. So we want to keep this going and just get people accustomed to the amazing work that's being done on both sides of the pond, and to just, you know, promote new music and show people music that they perhaps might not have the chance to hear normally.
Very nice. And you yourself are taking a virtuoso turn in Simon Dobson's world premiere of this work. Speaking of electronics, this is for solo clarinet and recorded electronics. How is Mr. Dobson's command of the clarinet? Have you been tweaking the part a little bit while he's present?
Hardly anything, actually.
One grace note, right?
Yeah, one grace note. I wasn't very happy about one grace note, but that was about it. But yeah, it's amazing because this is the first time you've written for clarinet, correct? I mean, just solo clarinet.
It worked, yeah. I've written for clarinet loads, but it's the first time I've actually written any solo wind music at all.
Yeah, and it works perfectly. I mean, it's very, very, lays very easy on the fingers and the registers, and it's a pretty what's a nice way of saying it? It's a crazy piece, isn't it?
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Pretty wild.
It's far out in terms of harmony and the kind of modulation, the progression of the harmony is a fairly crazy piece. I could say for me it's probably along the more contemporary route, but it doesn't start like that. It starts quite tranquil, mm-hmm. and by the end of the piece it's kind of, you know, raging away, like fully submersed in reverbs and delays, but you're making it sound great, man.
Oh, thank you. I love it. It's a great piece.
Nice. Well, it sounds like a very ambitious program you've got going here with Curious Flights. Brendan, what's after the transatlantic crossings? A breather, I hope, and then maybe another.
Wow. Yeah. I think the next concert's going to come up on us pretty quickly. It's at the end of May 28th, and it's if I thought this one was going to be tricky to throw together, and the next one is going to be even bigger. I mean, it's by far our biggest project to date. It's going to feature the West Coast premiere of a Mark Blitzstein piece called The Airborne Symphony, originally performed by the New York Phil and Leonard Bernstein. And we've got, you know, full 80-piece orchestra, men's chorus, two solo singers, and a narrator. And that's just on the second half. We've got some chamber works by All-American composers in the first half. So, yeah, this whole season's been about focusing on America and the UK. So
Nice. CuriousFlights.com for more information. Simon Dobson, Brendan Guy, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful concert this weekend, this Saturday at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. And we do have four pairs of tickets to offer for listeners that call 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. As we listen to more of music of Simon Dobson from his Symphony of Colors, informed no doubt by your synesthesia.
That's right.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Symphony of Colors, music of Simon Dobson, a generous helping of Simon Dobson's music this Saturday at 8 p.m., the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, CuriousFlights.com. And if you'd like tickets, 415-841-4134. Also offering some tickets to the Peninsula Symphony, which is performing Saturday at the Flint Center in Cupertino. Four pairs of tickets available for you. And Friday at the San Mateo Performing Arts Center. Yours truly, David LaTulipe, offering the pre-concert talks at 7 at the Flint Center and at the San Mateo Performing Arts Center. On the program, I mentioned the Stravinsky Firebird Suite, Overture to Cinderella, which we're hearing in the background here as we're concluding open air. 415-841-4134. Tickets being offered for either Friday or Saturday's performance. Or if you'd like to stay local, here Saturday, concert at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Curious Flights presenting a good helping of Simon Dobson's music, as well as the music of Mason Bates, Noah Luna, Robert Chastain. 415-841-4134. Also on the program for Friday and Saturday with the San Mateo Performing Arts Center, you'll hear Cinderella Overture of Rossini, Stravinsky's Firebird, some other wonderful works. 415-841-4134 or go to peninsulasymphony.org for more information. You've been listening to Open Air, our weekly performing arts magazine. Our shows are archived at our website, kalw.org. Look for Open Air. If you've got a segment suggestion, please do email me, david@kalw.org. Our producer for Open Air is Niels Swinkels. Hats off for him maintaining our calendar and herding cats, as it were, into and out of the studios. Thanks, and listen again next week for a fresh edition of Open Air. I'm David LaTulipe. Thanks for listening.